Father, may only your words be spoken and only your word heard. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah begins this morning, and I want to talk about a couple of things before I get into the gospel lesson, which is where the heart of what I want to speak about is today. But I think it bears warning and witness to us that Isaiah is calling basically Judah, part of Israel, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, if you remember Sodom and Gomorrah from the book of Genesis, it's a place where the angel of the Lord destroyed because of the wickedness and vileness and the rage, anger, murder, and blatant homosexuality of those towns and cities. You rulers of Sodom, and give ear to the law of God, you people of Gomorrah, to what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices, says the Lord? I've had enough of burnt offerings and rams, and the fat of fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or lambs or goats. And when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile scribes. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moon Sabbaths and the calling of the assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity in the sacred meeting. Don't mix the vile with the precious is what he's saying. Don't go do your own thing and then tell me it's good. Don't change God to fit our image. We change ourselves to fit the image of God. And he goes on to say, the new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I'm weary of bearing them. And when you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, and put away all the evil from your doings before you. And my eyes shall cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless and make a place for the widow. So what the Lord's saying is this. There's things, and I think it's something that God's even speaking into the churches, into the church itself. He's saying, don't try to change. This word keeps coming to me, don't move the ancient boundary stones. There's a moving of the ancient boundary stones, of evil being called good within the church. I'm not even talking about outside the church. And God is saying that if you hold to the things that are Him, He'll accept our offerings, He'll hear our prayers, and He'll move on the land. It goes with that Zechariah word. The other thing that He was saying this morning was, In 2 Thessalonians, if you heard it, he was talking about the lawless one, or this one that comes and rises up even with signs and wonders. They're lies, but they're signs and wonders to change the things and the seasons and the worship of God. And he's talking about this false prophet that's coming, and he's likening that in many ways. He's saying that there's many that are caught under the delusion of that because they reject the truth. And I really think that that's a very big word for us to understand in a year of evangelism, that we have to recognize that. So the thing that I want to talk about today is in the gospel lesson, because we're given this great picture of this little man who is probably heard of Jesus. He's probably heard of some of his signs and wonders among the people. There's an excitement in the city. Zacchaeus, who was the chief tax collector, and he was rich. He had a government job. He worked for the government. He was considered probably in many ways, truth. Now, all of that's going to tie into the sermon that I'm going to talk about in a little while, but I want you to hear that because the Lord's speaking really clearly through the lectionary today. He's talking about his heart. And see, you can say, I'm uncomfortable with that. Man, that doesn't seem politically correct. How do I talk to my neighbors about this? How do I do this? And I don't care. Because I don't have to figure all that out for you. It's not how do we make other people comfortable. It's how do we worship God and get His heart. Because if I change His word for someone else, then I fail to be who I'm supposed to be to God. And that's more important, and that's more important to your life. Now, all of it, I care mercifully and heavily about every lost person. And the good news is that in the end of Isaiah, he says, if you just return, if you repent, you can come back. God's a God that receives us back. But there is a repentance that's necessary. It's not every way that's ours fits through the door. It doesn't work that way. Haste to come down, for today I'll stay at your house. And he made haste to come down, and he received him joyfully. And I want to talk about this because by nature he's a tax collector. He's profiting and all of this. But there's a heart in this man. There's a heart in Zacchaeus to seek Jesus. To seek him. Right? It's not unlike James and Rob talking about that idea that God was going to pull us up in our praises. He was going to lift us up to a new place. And in his heart, he was to see this one, and he's just bent on seeing him. So he does this thing which is probably could be in some people's mind a bit embarrassing. Because he's short, he climbs up into a tree to see over the crowd, to see Jesus. And when Jesus comes along, there is an understanding within Jesus that turns to him and sees this little tax collector up the tree and says, "Come here. Today I'm going to come to your house." He honors him with something. See, Jesus is a rewarder of those who seek him. If you're out, if your heart's bent on seeing Jesus, if your heart's bent on seeking Jesus, he's going to come to you. He's going to visit your house. He's going to come to the place you dwell. And of course, as he goes there, the people are a little taken aback. And they come and start to say, "Why would he go to this place of a sinner? Why would he go eat with a sinner?" Man, guys, I'm telling you, if Jesus doesn't eat with a sinner, we're all in trouble. At least that's the way I got it figured. I thank God every day that he'll, you know, be with me in the midst of that. So then Zacchaeus stood unto the Lord and said, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor." Remember what Isaiah was talking about? Having a heart for the widow and the orphans. He says, "I give half my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation," in other words, if I've collected anything that wasn't supposed to be collected, he says, "I don't just repay it once. I don't just repay it twice. I don't repay it three times. I repay it four times over." That's a lot more than I could say, right? Ever paid somebody back if you've sinned against them four times over? Ever taken something from somebody and gone back and restored it four times? There's a righteousness within Zacchaeus. There's a man who's desirous to do the right things before the Lord. He's given away from his abundance. He's not trying to keep it all for himself. Whatever selfishness he's being blamed for isn't necessarily to be laid at his feet, because he's a man that's climbing to see. He's a giver, and he's also a restorer of those things that he's done wrong. More than that, what could you hope for? So Zacchaeus is in this tree. And it begs the question to me, what does God see when we seek? What's God see when we seek him? Does he see all our brokenness? Does Jesus isn't the one bringing up Zacchaeus' complaints? Jesus isn't accusing him. If there was untruth in him, I believe Jesus would have dealt with it. But now, what does God see? Maybe he sees that same one that was just in the psalm this morning. You remember the Psalm 119? And they had this great little line. It said, "I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts." I wonder if the smallness of Zacchaeus was that he was willing to make himself small. I wonder if it was the smallness that said, "I don't dare ask for you to come into my house, but yet I do climb the tree to see you." The gateway to God is humility. Humility. See, when we're wealthy in our own stuff, sometimes it's money. Jesus says it's easier for a rich man, or camel that is, to go through the eye of a needle. An eye of a needle was a small door on a house. It was probably about this tall, about that wide on a building. And the only way in is you had to bow your head in and climb under. And when you did, your neck is exposed to the sword on the other side. So humility is the only way you're getting in. You're not going to ride a horse through there. You're not going to ride a camel. He said, man, it's easier for a camel. And a camel can get kind of, you know, and crawl through that door. But it's easier for that camel to get through than for someone who's rich to get through that door. Why? Because of self-sufficiency and pride and all these arrogances and things that we can so easily carry along with us. But there's something about Zacchaeus, and it makes me beg that question. What does God see when we seek him? Does he see us just undone and broken? Does he see just the thoughts and labels others put upon us? Or does he see, it might be the richest kid in the town, but he sees the guy that was willing to climb the tree to see him. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. And like Zacchaeus, if we make ourselves that way, if we pursued, you see, today you had an opportunity. Today you were climbing up something. Today you were ascending to the Lord. Today you were climbing a tree. You were moving on tracks that didn't have earth under it. You were ascending. And God wants that. Those who seek. And I think he sees us. He sees and knows our hearts. I wonder how many people... See, I think part of the kingdom is this. I think there's people that want to see Jesus that can't. And the only way they can see is they can climb up a little bit. Sometimes they have to see through our eyes. Sometimes our testimony is so important to be able to share who Jesus is because they got just about this much faith. But when we start to speak of what Jesus did, their faith expands and they're able to see a little higher. They're able to see a little more. And then we start to share it. And maybe we lift them up on our shoulders. Maybe we carry them for a period of time. But maybe we lift them up on our faith and they're able to see something. They're able to see Jesus, which they couldn't see. And maybe his gaze turns upon them. And he looks right into their eyes. And maybe he transforms their life because he rides upon that faith. And sometimes it's our faith that transforms those things. And I'm thinking when Jesus sees this guy climbing up, he sees a guy looking for him. How to see through our eyes? Sometimes we have to lend our faith. Who can't see? You know, I don't know, when I turned 50, like a light switch, all of a sudden I needed readers. I mean, it was like the day of. It was like the warranty was off. You know? Oh. You know? At first, I thought it was because they changed all the 100-watt light bulbs out of everything in the country. But anyhow, I dealt with this problem of not being able to see. So the problem is when you start off, you have like one pair of readers, and if you forget them, now you're at a dark restaurant or you're someplace and you're trying to read something, and you're going, I can't see. Can I borrow your glasses? Right? And you don't look for those younger people. You look for everybody about your age or a little older. If you get them too old, then they're reading them was so thick you can't see through them. So you got to get somebody who's about your age that's just starting to wear them too, because they're about a 1.25, you know. And you now you can read again. Can I borrow your glasses? And I think of that in light of evangelism, because there's this place where people can't see. They have to borrow your lenses. They have to borrow your glasses. They have to see it. You know, the Ethiopian eunuch is riding along and he's reading Isaiah when Philip comes upon him and he says, you know what that means, what you're reading in Isaiah? And he says, no, how could I know unless someone explains it to me? How could I know? How could I know without that lens of understanding? And see, that's what I think part of evangelism is not just sharing the truth, but to explain the truth or to help somebody carry the truth. Because if they take the truth and reject the truth, right, then they're going to come under delusion. It's going to get worse for them. See, when you share the gospel with somebody and they reject it, there's a penalty in that. When towns would reject it, Jesus would say to the apostles, kick the dirt off your feet and walk away. There's a judgment. It'll be better for Sodom and Gomorrah in those days than it'll be for that town in a way. Because here I am, the living God who's come among you with signs, wonders, and prophecies, and you are rejecting me. I'm not a God in the heavens. I'm a God who became man and dwelt among you, and you still reject it. What would you accept? And see, our job as Christians to share this faith is to help them become nurtured in Christ. That we can share, hey, this is what I see. Then they start to say, I'm starting to see it. then we pray with them and help them to see it, then we walk with them that they might retain the sight they've been given. That's kind of evangelism. That's the heart of it. And so I think with Zacchaeus, when we see him today, we just get to see this place in the scripture where Jesus rewards the seeker. And listen to what he says after he says, I return fourfold. He says, today, salvation came to this house because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Salvation's not just a prayer we pray. Salvation's meeting Jesus. And I really believe that this church is in a really, really great position to share that with a lot of Zacchaeus. People that have been trying to see but can't quite see. They love God, but they're not sure what to do about that. They believe there's a God, but they don't know what the church is about. You know, I just think there's something to share. And I believe that if we looked at it through the lens of what would Jesus see, you know, I can only imagine. He's rolling down the road in a crowd, probably thronged by people all sides. And you know what he does? He looks up in a tree and sees the guy. Jesus didn't miss it. He's not going to miss that one that's looking. And we've got to have his mind and eyes so we don't miss the one he would see. Because it would be easy to discount Zacchaeus, right? It would be easy to say, he's so rich, he needs nothing. He'd never accept the gospel. It would be so, he's taking advantage of people, so he's not worthy of the gospel. I mean, think of all those things which are just basically truths and untruths. None of us are worthy. But how do we see what he sees? He's looking for a heart that's looking. Not a guy that's already cleaned up and done needy. That's what he's inviting us to be part of in the work that we have as kings and priests. Let's pray. Father, we praise you this morning for all that's gone on here today, and we praise you that you're a God that visits. You're a God that looks in trees. You're a God that looks for the one looking. And God, we just praise you for the ones that are looking here. We praise you that we can call upon and praise your name, and you'll lift us up by that praise. That you inhabit the praise of your people. Oh God, we thank you for the mount of ascent that you have us on. Because of your good name. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.